Friends, what a beautiful and practical illustration we have of last week's gospel passage being lived out. Today we have the poor widow giving everything to God. She gives everything. And on behalf of others, she puts it in the treasury, which is supposed to be on behalf of others. But as we know from reading the Bible, it doesn't always necessarily go that way. But that's her intention. So she gives everything, loving God with all she has. With such great generosity and trust. It's really a sight to behold. She's not afraid to give everything to him because she knows how much he loves her. She's already been loved by him, touched by his love, and has no doubt that he will take care of her one way or another. And due to this tremendous faith and trust, her contribution to the treasury, small as it may be in monetary means, will yield far greater fruit than all the others combined who are just giving token contributions. They're greater in value, monetary value, but not so much in God's eyes. So these others, they're giving not out of love, but only because they're obligated, because the law says you need to. And they give enough to be noticed, but not enough to have any significant impact on their lives. Indeed, the focus of their lives is on themselves, not on God or other people. They merely use God and other people for their own benefit to build up their wealth and prestige. We don't have to look far to see the very same thing going on in our world, day in and day out, and often celebrated. But Christ mixes no words about those who follow this path, refusing to love God and neighbor. He says they will receive a very severe condemnation. Our job then is to follow the example of the poor widow, to give until it hurts and then give some more. God will never leave you hanging, and he will never be outdone in generosity. He delights in lavishing his gifts upon us in great abundance. Jesus assures us of this numerous times in the Gospels with his words, but his actions speak far louder than his words. And ultimately, in the cross, his actions speak very, very loudly. Many of us have also witnessed this truth of the Jesus. He's not making this up. These aren't just platitudes, right? We've witnessed this truth at various points throughout our lives of his goodness coming into our lives in its great abundance. To be sure, though, God will provide all that you need. That's a key word, all that you need. You won't get all that you want, especially in terms of earthly possessions, but you'll get more than you can imagine in spiritual riches and even some surprises in earthly goods as well. So be not afraid, brothers and sisters, just like the poor widow and also the widow of Zarephath that we encounter in today's first reading. Now, she has some very serious and very reasonable reservations about obeying Elijah. This prophet just wanders in and starts asking her to do things. But ultimately, she decides to trust in God against immense odds. And what are those odds? Well, she's living in a time of horrible drought and famine, like years of great destitution all throughout the land. Plus, she's not only a woman, but a widow. And this puts her at a massive disadvantage in that society of today. These words are supposed to invoke that image that it was actually fearful. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have any protection. She was at a big disadvantage. And she also lives in pagan country. This isn't Jewish territory, probably an enemy of Jews. The pagan states tend to be that way. And she doesn't seem to know God either. She addresses Elijah and she says, "Your God," not our God, not God, but your God. And so Elijah comes in, probably an enemy of hers, and this prophet, and, "Hey, can you give me a cup of water?" "Okay." And she goes, and then, "Hey," as she's walking away, "Hey, can you give me a bit of bread while you're at it?" And so here's this lady, she's just gathering together some sticks, going to have a last meal with her son, and they're going to die. Pretty desperate, right? And Elijah says, "Oh, don't worry about that. Just you know, bake me a cake, and you know, God's going to take care of everything." You know, I don't know about you guys, but I might tell this guy to take a hike if this happened to me. You know, what are you talking about? But yet, despite all of this, this widow of Zarephath responds with such amazing, selfless generosity. I think God probably touched her heart. Elijah, too. Now, he's trusting against all odds. If we go back a little bit before this passage, we learn that this drought and famine, God brought it about through the prophet Elijah because of the sins of the Jews. Elijah's famous for, and especially King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, who Elijah famously confronts a number of times. It's actually kind of funny, their interactions. But anyway, so he runs for his life, and God says, oh, go to this wadi, this certain wadi, which is like a little brook or a stream, and you're going to have some water there. And ravens are going to bring you food. And Elijah must have been thinking, wow, that's kind of nice, you know. Don't I get a pass from all this suffering, Lord, because I'm faithful and you brought this about through me? No, he doesn't get a pass. And so after the wadi dries up eventually, and so God sends Elijah off to, he says, go to Zarephath and go find this widow. And so he must be thinking, boy, things are getting going from bad to worse, right? Are you going to send me out to my enemies and to a widow, and she's supposed to take care of me? Come on, Lord. But he goes. Clearly, both Elijah and the widow are desperate. They're living in desperate times. Yet both trust in God, and both are rewarded handsomely. So we're meant to see that very clearly. And all of this is by design. It's not happenstance. It's by God's design. This is precisely how we open up to receive from His heavenly treasury. The more generous and trusting we are with God, the more we can receive and flourish. This is spiritual physics. Bishop Barron uses this term a lot. That's the way the spiritual life works. As the author of Hebrews reminds us in the second reading, Christ entered into the heavenly sanctuary, not some kind of counterfeit or not some kind of earthly reproduction of the heavenly sanctuary, but heaven itself. So he enters into heaven with his own blood, not the blood of animals, with his own blood, sacrificed on our behalf to take away sin by his sacrifice. He did this to open up God's great treasury of love and mercy for us, so that we can thrive here on earth, living in the glorious freedom of the children of God, full of His peace and joy, in preparation for life with Him in heaven. This is how God wants us to live, His wonderful children. So in short, Christ gives up everything so that we might have everything. That's what He's all about. He didn't hold anything back in history when He went back to the cross. That's present to us now, and He still doesn't hold back. He still offers us everything. We just have to say yes and receive from Him. The natural response to such immense, mind-boggling love, if it registers, if we're able to see it for what it is, the natural response is to love back. We heard about that last week. Remember, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two commandments that Jesus gave last week's gospel. And we explored a number of ways to do this last week. But this week, the liturgy zeroes us in on a particular way of doing this loving by sharing our material riches, which God gave us all of these riches in the first place, by the way. And now you, as a parish, are already a generous bunch, and I am very thankful for that, because you pay for me, for my food, for my electricity, for my heat. I don't live a luxurious life, but I live a good life. I have as much food as I need. My roof doesn't leak. You know, I got a pear tree in the yard that I was bragging about. You know, I'm pretty good, and it's because of you. It's because of your generosity, not just monetarily, but all of your prayers, all of the love. I mean, all of the reception that I've received. I'm truly blessed. However, and you probably saw this coming, right? However, have your life circumstances changed so that you can increase your giving relative to your treasure? I do this type of evaluation myself each year, and it truly is liberating, but that's not to be confused with fun. It can be a bit painful. It usually is. The more we give, the more we kind of let go of our control. It's a liberating experience, but it's difficult. But I do this type of thing, and I just finished it this past week. This gospel helped me to, it's kind of in the process, but it kind of helped me to solidify that. Of course, we're in the midst of the annual Catholic appeal now, and we're already at 50%. We were at, I think, 33 or 34% last week, so we got about 33 grand of our 66 already raised, so we're in great shape. Thank you for that. As we grow closer to the season of giving, which, of course, begins right after Thanksgiving, for some people even before Thanksgiving, but Black Friday into Christmas, I encourage you to take a look at how much you are contributing to the offertory each week. That's our parish treasury, where we put our coins into the basket, literally. And especially do this if you haven't looked at it in a while. And even more especially if you give electronically, which is very convenient, it's very nice, but oftentimes you don't even think about it. Just a certain amount comes out each month. And maybe you're in a position now where you can change that. Also, evaluate how much you're giving directly to the poor, both here locally, but also beyond. And think about this in terms of time, talent, and treasure. We can't just throw money at the poor. We need to love them, bring them into the fold of our society, help to make them ever more a part of the body of Christ. And so, friends, be not afraid to be exceedingly generous with the Lord, who is radically generous with you. He has given everything. He has given you everything you have. Yet he doesn't demand that you give it all back. No, he wants you to enjoy these gifts, but to also share them selflessly so that other people can enjoy them. And make no mistake, this is not easy to do. I think everybody in here would agree with me. But we do know how to go about it. The three-legged stool, of course, right? Sacraments, daily prayer, and service. And we know that it is rewarding beyond our wildest dreams. And so I just leave you with the simple question. What is holding you back?